absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to episode 19 of Absolutely Intercultural, and a special welcome to all our new listeners. In the last couple of weeks, you've been downloading our episodes like crazy, and it's great to have you all with us. Please also check out our blog at www.absolutelyintercultural.com and let us know what you think about the recent shows. As you can hear from my voice, I've been off my feet with a cold for quite a while, and I try to get out of being a moderator today. However, our chief editor, Carsten, managed to convince me that I sound absolutely sexy. So, in fact, now I'm worried about my regular voice.
Don't be, Lawrence. Well, in this episode, you will hear about the Go Out campaign, about managing cultural diversity, and about differences and similarities in the life of Finnish, Hungarian, and Swedish students. And in the end, you'll hear what condoms have to do with fruits from Vera, a German student who did her internship at the World Health Organization in Copenhagen, Denmark. But before we come to that, let's be absolutely competitive.
Yes. Do you like to be a little competitive every once in a while? Well, then this is probably something for you. By now, we've almost got 90 people on our Frapper map, and we thought that we should reach the 100 mark very soon. So this is not very far away. So here comes the deal. If you manage to put the pin number 100 on our map, we will invite you to be the guest host of one of our next episodes in Germany. Okay, fasten your safety belts. Now we really mean business. If you're from Europe, this invitation would include a low-budget flight to Germany, a night in a hotel in Remagen, where we are podcasting from, and a good time with the two of us here in the studio. Now, if you're not from Europe, we will think about a good alternative. Now, what do you think about this? Isn't that a good reason to go directly to www.absolutely-intercultural.com and put your pin on our map? If your pin is number 100 on the Frapper map, you will win the prize. It's as simple as that. If you want to take part in this competition, please make sure you read the rules of the game in this week's posting and in the first comment, where you get all the tricks. If you have a question, please also post this question as a further comment, and you will get your answer there. Because we're sure that if somebody asks a question, maybe the others might have the same question.
But let's now come back to the Go Out campaign in our category Absolutely International. We've already talked about it a little in the last show, and we'll follow it up today. Well, let's first hear what it is all about by one of the organizers.
Okay, my name is René Mörder, I'm 29 years old, and I have just finished my studies of history, politics and philosophy, and now I'm working since 2 months for the German Academic Exchange Service, the AAD. And right now we're doing a campaign which is called Go Out, and within this program we drive through the different universities in Germany and just stop with our car there and collect flyers and informations for the people, for the students, first of all, so that they can inform themselves about how to get scholarships for some semesters or some weeks, months or years, some practica, some language courses in foreign countries. And Go Out especially wants to raise the numbers of students which go outside of Germany from now 30% to 50%, and therefore we started a kind of offensive. Why should students go abroad? I myself went abroad, not with the DAD, but with Erasmus. And the experience, I guess, is the most important thing at the end, because the experience, like, you have to meet different people, to get into a different culture, and, like, first of all, to learn a different language, is very important for the rest of your life, in sense of you always want to go back there, you always have contact to the people from there, and so the intercultural thing, like Europe is growing together, is a more or less student thing, which grows from the bottom, and that for the students can do a lot for the exchange and at all for the peace in Europe too. So students should go abroad for their own personality, but also for the European idea.
Well, I think René is absolutely right. Going abroad really has many advantages for you as a person, and certainly for your career. But it also adds a lot of life to the European idea in general. As a part of the Go Out campaign, we held a Managing Cultural Diversity weekend seminar here at our university. And Marlene, one of the teachers, will tell you more about it.
My name is Marlene Izquierdo and I come from University of León in the northwest of Spain. Right now I'm coming from Norway actually. I'm doing research there for some months, so that makes it even more intercultural. That's good. And well, this is my third time in managing cultural diversity. I like it very much. Every time it's more enriching. Every time we learn more and we have fun. And my activity this year is called Believe It or Not. And this is a quiz about different peculiarities, different aspects of different cultures. And I present these statements, these facts about different cultures to the students, and but I ask them whether they believe it or not. And this way, in groups, the interculturally mixed, they discuss whether this is true or not. And I also ask them to connect this fact with any aspect of culture, like language or communication, conventions, beliefs, that kind of thing. And first of all, I think that this quiz is pretty entertaining, and it's very interactive because it gets people talking, discussing about the same idea from different points of view, and at the same time it's an excuse to show them that culture is a very wide concept. There's lots of things under the umbrella of culture, and it's nothing too strict, it's nothing fixed, it's something flexible, and that's why they have different opinions. And I think that this is just a way for them to realize that they shouldn't take things for granted. I mean, believe it or not, you have to think about what you see, you have to think about what people tell you, right? And that's mainly one of the purposes of this seminar, Managing Cultural Diversity. I think that nowadays you must go abroad. People need that somehow. And if you go to a different place, you don't know anything about it, you don't know anybody, I think that the fact of going abroad is difficult enough. But if you're not aware of certain differences, you can be doing things that harm others. And we would like to avoid this, okay? We would like to avoid misunderstandings, because what matters is communication. So it's important to enhance this intercultural awareness, just to keep on the safe side, and to get some kind of self-confidence that, I will do things so that I don't wonder, is this all right? Is this not all right? And to get rid of some initial fears.
Together with Marlene, we had invited 9 more lecturers from all over Europe. And with the 25 students who participated in the seminar, we had a very, very mixed group, and absolutely intercultural the group was too, with at least 13 nationalities that we could count. It was great to see so many people having a good time together, thinking about their culture and how we can embrace and celebrate diversity. For our category, absolutely student-like, we've asked the participants to generalize a little. I hope you'll forgive us for that, and describe student life in their home countries and what they think makes it different from the life of students in other countries. So let's listen to Sami from Finland, Anita from Hungary, and Anders from Sweden.
In Finland, we talk to professors with the first names.
And the learning methods are those more group works, more discussions with the teacher. So the teacher is not there the only one who is telling and how it should be, but the students can say their opinion and then they will be talking.
The Finnish students usually work along their studies to have enough money for living, and they are not supported by their parents at all, actually.
Because the government gives us money, but it doesn't enough, so we have to basically work. All my friends are working, I work. And I think in Finland that the students, they move to live alone more earlier than in other countries.
Yeah, and the education in the universities, it's free. The students get discounts for meals and for trains. Bus.
Movies, everything. Yeah. For trains and bus, it's minus 50%.
And we have a lot of... I personally think that we are even more punctual than Germans. Because here, if it says that the lecture starts 8:15, it may start 8:30.
In Finland, it is like that, that the 5 is the best and the 1 is the worst when you're giving the notes.
Well, I think I'm in quite a strange situation now because I should talk about student life, but I'm actually not a student anymore, but I'm a teacher, so I experienced this whole thing from the other side. And I have to tell that this is, in Hungary it's kind of a mixture of everything. We have things like the note, the best is 5 and not 1. 1 is, 1 means fail. I think the students are very much supported by their parents. We really need that because we just, we cannot really find any job during our studies. Also, the students get a student card, which gives a lot of discount to the student, and that is very good. But something else, from the point of view of a teacher, in Hungary, the thing that happens is that the teacher stands in front of the students, they talk, the students listen, they take notes, and that was it. But in the seminars where people would think that you should be interactive, well, from both sides, the student and the teacher as well should be kind of interacting with each other, they simply do not. I mean, it's rather that the having a lecture and not a seminar, so there is no interaction, which I don't really like. But in my classes, for example, where I teach the language, Hungarian language, that I really try to have the classes as playful as possible. Yeah, and then, of course, in my classes as well, what I don't experience in the Hungarian classes, with Hungarian students, I mean, students try to talk to me, they try to share their ideas, but with the Hungarian students, you just never get that.
I mean, we have government support to be able to study, and we also have this first name basis with our teachers, even if the oldest professor on the campus, you'd still address him by his first name or her first name. An interesting thing, though, is that we recently moved from having our grades in like 3, 4, 5. Instead, we have you either fail, you pass, or you pass with merit.
I guess in general, students have a lot in common. But of course, the university system can be very different in other countries. So it is quite a good idea to get some information about that before you go abroad. It's best to contact people from that country. You might even want to use our comment function for that.
And now for something completely different. Our new category, absolutely prepared. What comes to your mind when you hear the combination fruits and condoms? Yes, of course, you're right. It's all about AIDS. Maybe you guessed it because today, on the 1st of December, is World AIDS Day. What? You did not guess that correctly? But that is exactly where those two things come together. Well, at least in Germany. We've asked Vera from Germany, who did an internship at the World Health Organization in Copenhagen, what this is all about, and of course, why she went on an internship abroad in the first place.
So I went abroad for 3 months to do an internship. I went to Copenhagen. And it was part of my study program, so it was a mandatory stay abroad, an internship abroad. But I think even if it wouldn't have been in my in the context of my study program, I think I would have done an internship abroad as well to just to gain experience abroad and to test how it's like to work in another culture.
So that means all your colleagues also went abroad and all did a practical training?
Yes, like all my, like we are more or less like a class, like 30 students we are in my group, and we all went abroad in the same period of time for 3 months.
Does the university or do the professors help you with the choice of the workplaces?
They have some suggestions and they show us the internship reports of former students, so we can read and get some inspiration of where to go. And sometimes they like forward emails if they know someone who can offer an internship place, but most of the students find their internship place themselves.
How did it work in your particular case? When did you start to work on this? When did you write your applications? Did you get a scholarship, for example?
It took a long time, to be honest, but for most of my friends it took a long time. I started to write applications about in December, and I was accepted around March. So from like for 1 or 2 months I just spent on writing applications.
Right. And where was your practical training in the end?
I was at WHO in the Regional Office for Europe in Copenhagen in Denmark.
Right. And did you want to go there because of the institution, or did you go for Denmark?
I went to WHO not because it was in Denmark, but it was the WHO, and they offered me an internship there, so I was really happy to go there. And so I ended up being in Denmark for 3 months.
Did you get a scholarship for your practical training?
Yes. Leonardo da Vinci, the program Leonardo da Vinci, supported my stay there.
And can you explain that a little bit? Did you get a monthly rate?
Yeah, I received a monthly rate, so to say, and additionally they reimbursed me for some of my travel costs.
Right. Did they also offer you some preparation?
Yes, they offered me intercultural online preparation course to get intercultural aware for the internship period.
How do I imagine that? So this is an online course on the internet?
It was an online course with a
something
trainer
like multiple
and
choice?
Around 15 participants, where it was a course running around 6 or 8 weeks. And each week we got like a task, or first an introduction and then a task about an intercultural relevant topic. And there we discussed online with the participants, and we had to do some small assignments, read text, and discuss a lot about culture, intercultural communication, and our expectations for the internship.
Okay, so it was online, but it was in fact handled as if it was a face-to-face seminar where
yes.
students
we had
were
a lot of like exchange over chat and emails.
Right.
And yeah.
Okay, now that's very interesting. Now you've just come back from Denmark.
Yes.
Looking back, what did you get out of this practical experience?
So yes, when I look back, I think I got the most, what I got out of it was like the interpersonal experience, because at the WHO there were people from around 60 nationalities, so I had, so to say, intercultural communication every day and every minute, so to say, and this was the most interesting part, to get to know so many people and to exchange so many things. So I really learned a lot concerning intercultural and cultures, and also more in the things regarding my study program. I really learned how an international organization works and with whom they are connected and collaborate, like NGOs or research institutions. So I worked in the HIV/AIDS department at the WHO, where I did my internship. So I was in the preparation phase. I was reading a lot on HIV/AIDS and looked around with open eyes. And then I recognized the German HIV/AIDS campaign, and they have posters and postcards with fruits and something with condoms and some funny and double meaning slogans.
Oh yes, I've seen those, like a banana and then a condom over the banana.
Right.
And then it says something like it fits all sizes or something.
No, yes, right. So I ordered this postcard series and brought it in my backpack to Copenhagen and put it in my office there. And I think my colleagues were really interested in this as they stopped in my office and said, oh, that's funny, what is written on there? And I explained them what it is translated to English, and I also explained them the double meaning. It's a funny double meaning sometimes. And so it was really a good starting point for a conversation about, for example, German, because a lot of my colleagues actually spoke a bit of German, or we talked about HIV/AIDS campaigns in general. So it was a really good starting point. And two of my colleagues really liked these postcards, and they asked me if I could order these postcards as posters, which I did, and they really liked it and hang it up in the hallway of our department.
Wow, that's a very good idea.
Yeah.
Especially that aspect of a conversation starter as well, because I know that sometimes at the beginning of a job, the conversations can be very banal, that they just say things like, how do you like it in Denmark, et cetera, and that doesn't lead over to an intelligent conversation.
Yeah, okay, so it really open up, like, and the people start to talk, oh, I learned German at school so many years ago, and, oh, in Germany they're really daring to put condoms in relationship with fruits, or, oh, have you seen the Swiss HIV/AIDS campaign? So it was really a good starting point, yeah.
Well, that's it for today. We hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, then please go to www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where you can leave a comment, write us an email, and participate in our little Swapper Map competition. Please remember, you can win a free trip to Germany and be the guest host in one of our future shows if your pin is number 100. Well, the next show will be coming to you from Denmark on the 15th of December. Until then,
stay tuned!
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.